Warning, we now have ducks named after us, and in the immortal words of Mr. Paul Harvey, now you will know the rest of the story. Listener discretion is advised. Coming to you from America's Wang, this is Florida Man, the podcast for Tuesday, May the 5th, 2020.
Each week we bring you stories from the shady side of the Sunshine State, starring America's most prolific criminal, Florida Man.
And coming up this week in episode 156,
Florida Woman starts a new loss prevention initiative at Walgreens.
Florida Woman survived 9 days in a ravine.
Living in a house on a golf course wasn't nearly close enough for a Florida Man golfer.
And Florida Man showed another Florida Man some brotherly love.
Plus, a Florida Man food fight, fill in the blank, listener email and V-mail, and much, much more. When this episode comes out, I don't know if you noticed that when you said the date, but it's Cinco de Mayo.
Where we will be celebrating...
Corona.
with Corona.
And not only is it Cinco de Mayo, it's Taco Tuesday.
Taco Tuesday...
Taco Tuesday on Cinco de Mayo. Hope y'all are celebrating in the same way that I am, which with some...
You got a damn mini.
I got a mini tequila that I've been saving for Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, you're not drinking it? You drinking it now?
I'm pouring it right in my glass of orange juice that I've been saving here while we've been getting ready.
No, that'd be a tequila sunrise.
Yes.
Well, as this week we've got a little different. What's the word I'm looking for? We got a little different format this week.
A little bit.
Not anything major. We have a new episode we're going to try. We have so many stories of Florida Man that the headlines are really funny, but there's not enough context to them to really do a whole story over. So we're going to start doing a quick read of Florida Man headlines.
Where the headline tells the entire story, basically.
Correct. And that's.
You don't even really need the rest of the story.
No. But this week, I will tell you that we got a voicemail this week.
Yes, we did.
And as we talked about last week, we now have ducks named after us.
Yes.
And now we're going to learn the rest of the story of the ducks. But we're going to play you the voicemail. But I have some things I want to talk about as the voicemail progresses, because I was partaking of adult beverages while I heard this voicemail at a friend's house practicing social distancing and broke out into hives. I was laughing so hard. I was in the backyard. I can go to friends' houses and be 6 feet apart. I was outside.
Okay. Did you have a mask on?
All right. So I didn't need a mask. I was outside.
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to play the voicemail and I'm going to start and stop it on certain points of this. So this is from our good friend, Mia, who I believe lives in Pennsylvania. Is that correct?
I think so, yes.
I think in Pennsylvania. And she's the one that rescued the two ducks and decided to name them Duck Phil and Duck Joel. So here we go with the message.
Hi, guys. This is Mia. I'm back. I'll try to keep it under 9 minutes this time. I'm not promising anything, though, because once I start talking about the animals, I have no idea what's going to happen. So, but in any case, I wanted to give you an update on Duck Phil and Duck Joel, and you will be getting photos and some videos of them soon. They are doing great, and they did come from Ohio, specifically a rescue called Happy Trails, which is where I get all my babies. And so I wanted to give you a little bit of their story. I was told these guys came from a seizure from by the police somewhere in Ohio, and I was told that they were had been through quote the worst of the worst. Like, these guys had really, really had it rough. And I knew that the one had like crazy medical issues, and I was like, that's cool, I'm all about it. Special needs, that's my jam. And so when I went to get them, and I already told them, like, oh, yeah, they're going to be named after me, just like, Phil and Joel from Florida Man, because, I tell them all to listen because, it brings joy to everyone. And but so anyway, when I showed up to get them, so one of them is like, they're two dudes, and I knew beforehand that they were dudes. And so I show up, and I knew that if you hear that, that's Omar. He's my badass awesome rooster. One of them. I've got a few. But so in any case, you know, one of them's like super beautiful. These are Pekins. They're white. They're awesome. And so, you know, one is just, you know, super gorgeous, whatever. And then the other one is like busted as fuck. Like the poor dude, he has like one massive cataract. He's like blind in one eye. He's got the other cataract on the other eye. He's just, and he, you know, he's just kind of all fucked up. But here's the deal. So I was like, oh, dude. One of these guys could be pretty disappointed, but this is the thing. That just means he's a trooper and a hero, and that he's been through more shit and overcome it.
All right, so we're gonna pause it right there. So we've got one good-looking duck, one normal some duck, and one broke dick busted duck. So I'm thinking as I'm listening to this, I'm like, well, this okay. So somebody's gonna be disappointed before she even said it. I'm like, oh, I mean, because the choice is obvious.
Oh yeah, totally.
So I'm thinking through this whole process. I'm going to spend the next week and a half trying to console Joel because he got broke dick duck, broke the busted ass duck. So I'm thinking, well,
thinking the exact same thing about you, Phil.
Really? Well, that's so there. I'm thinking this is no contest. So I mean, poor Joel is going to get stuck with his busted ass damn duck. And I've got the pretty duck. So I'm like, because obviously I'm better looking than you. And that should be no contest. So now we'll go into the decision phase. So at this point, I am happy. I'm thinking like, oh, this is not going to be a problem on how she's going to decide who's going to name what.
So I was like, how do I decide these names? And I was kind of like, the handsome ones give you a Joel vibe. So, but so in any case, Phil, you get super banged up. Duck Phil, and Joel, you get handsome Phil, handsome Joel, who, by the way, is Phil's seeing eye duck. No.
All right. So in the proverbial out of left field, this listener of the show has completely blown me off guard, thrown me off guard, and like thrown a wrench in everything, because now I'm like, wait, she chose, I get stuck with broke dick duck?
Blind,
broke dick duck, and you get the good one. So yeah. Now I'm like, what the hell just happened? How did this even come about? So now we'll keep going.
Joke, Joel is a seeing eye duck, and he allows Phil to explore. They go on big journeys, yada yada, and he protects him from anything that might bother him. If anyone tries to bother him, because he's like super blind and stuff, like, you know, Joel comes in and saves the day. So anyway, I take...
Because I'm Superman.
Fill the vet says, just to make sure everything's okay. And they're like, oh, yeah, you know, he's pretty fucked up. We got to give him, like, all this stuff. And I'm like, that's cool.
All right, so that's where the first verse boil ended. So we're going to open the second one. So at this point, okay, not only do I get broke dick duck, I have to rely on pretty Joel as my seeing eye duck to show me around the farm. And I'm thinking, how in the hell... Why I've got to... But then I think about it.
It makes sense.
It kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes sense. It's a good decision, but I'm still pissed a little bit about, you know, that I get stuck with broke dick duck. But I've got Joel carrying me. He's like my friend that's my seeing eye duck that's got to be able to show me around the farm and take care of me, make sure I don't do something stupid, which kind of is the way things are in real life. If you think about it.
All right, now Joel does all the work, and Phil just shows up and hangs out and makes everybody laugh.
There we go.
Okay, part two. So this is great. So I take, you know, Phil in to be checked out, and yada yada. They take some X-rays, and I get a call later, and they're like, okay, all this stuff. Yeah, he's got some, you know, leg issues, whatever. Working with it, and they're like, but he has the biggest balls we've ever seen on this duck.
So for those of you that are listening to this that did not quite comprehend what she said, I want to make sure you heard that. Mm-hmm. He has the biggest balls we've ever seen on a duck. So broke dick duck Phil has got some serious cojones.
Dick might be broke, but the balls are big.
The balls are big. I got big balls on my duck. So now I'm laughing, but I'm thinking I'm okay with this. You know, I'm actually okay with this. I'm okay with having broke dick duck, but I got big balls.
You know, swollen testicles could be a sign of cancer.
So, shut up, Joel. Turns out, Duck Phil has giant gonads. And so he is, you know, a Drake's Drake, a man's man. And so I thought that that might balance it out a little bit. You know, Joel is, you know, a looker. And he immediately, by the way, started hooking up with all the ladies as soon as he got here. It was like instantaneous. And so though Phil is, you know, more of a trucker trooper that's hanging on, fighting the good fight, and now gets to live in glorious luxury. He may look like, you know, shit, but he has giant fucking balls.
Which sums up
in the world. Yeah,
which sums up right there my entire last year of my life. I'm fighting the good fight. I look like shit, but I got good balls. I got big balls. Yep. Yep.
The biggest they've ever seen at that.
The biggest they've ever seen in a duck.
Live out the rest of his life, super happy and super spoiled. So that's the deal with that. You guys are the bomb. You're going to get videos of Duck Phil and Duck Joel. And, you know, Phil, please do not be disappointed because he's awesome. And these guys are, you know, they have been through the math and we are all very happy to have them and listen to you guys and keep us laughing. So thank you all again very much. Thank you for your patience and for putting up with me because, you know, I'm eccentric. So thank you again. And I look forward to keep listening to you all. You guys are the best. Thanks a lot. And yeah, bye.
So that is the story of Duck Phil and Duck Joel. Somehow, Duck Joel is now ravishing the farmyard of old McDonald over here.
Yeah, she sent an email too that said Duck Joel is cleaning up with the ladies. Just
so he's a slut.
Oh yeah, total slut.
Joel, as a question for you,
mm-hmm.
Of all the words people have used to describe you over your lifetime, has slut ever been one of them?
No.
Negative. No, I didn't think so. So get your slut ass over here and help me get to the damn watering hole, okay? Because I can't see the damn pond.
Yeah, the my face has pretty much prevented me from ever being a slut.
Mia, that is awesome. You made my damn day. I laughed so freaking hard. Then I had to play it over the Bluetooth speaker for our friends, and everybody's dying laughing. Yep, broke dick duck. Phil's is got some big ass cojones. And with that, we enter into story number one. Coming to us from the Miami Herald, a Florida woman said she stole Percocet and Xanax from her store so the store wouldn't be robbed.
Brilliant.
I'm going to read that again. Florida woman said she stole Percocet and Xanax from her store so that it wouldn't be robbed. She's protecting it. She's putting it in a safe spot.
Exactly.
All right. A Belgrade Walgreens pharmacy technician had a novel explanation for her theft of hundreds of Xanax and Percocet tablets, police say. She wanted to keep a cousin from robbing the store. So she wanted to keep a cousin. So someone she knew.
She had inside information.
Inside information about it. So you know what I'm thinking here?
No clue.
No, I'm not saying she could. Oh, fuck.
Everything okay?
Just hang on. I had it. I lost it. Oh, okay, got it. All right, here we go. So here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking National Treasure, Nicolas Cage, stealing the Declaration of Independence.
Except it's Percocet and Xanax.
Yeah, because he knew it was going to be stolen. There was going to be a heist.
Ocean's 11 style.
Right. That's according to the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office via Talisaya?
Sure.
Talisaya McGee's arrest form. Though the form said the 23-year-old eventually admitted that the person wasn't a true cousin, the lack of a family tree didn't prevent her from getting the switch, administratively and legally. The Florida Department of Health suspended McGee's license last month. She was arrested after she posted a $24,000 bond. Prosecutors decided to take no action on the charges of possession of oxycodone, possession of Xanax, grand theft, and one count of trafficking in 25 grams of 100 grams of oxycodone.
What?
In trafficking in 25 to 100 grams of oxycodone. Okay.
Right.
McGee still faces one count of trafficking in 25 grams to 100 grams of oxycodone, possession of Xanax, and organized scheme to defraud under $20,000. Well, that's a hell of a charge.
That's a new one. Scheme to defraud.
Organized scheme to defraud under $20,000. Mm-hmm. McGee maintained her innocence in the incident. that both the arrest report and the health department's emergency suspension order said sparked a Walgreens investigation. A customer saying a 90-tablet Percocet prescription was 30 tablets short in October.
Uh-oh. So
She's been skimming off the top.
Exactly. She was taking it out of the... She just figured they weren't going to count them. 60 looks like 90.
Yeah, until you get to month number three. Yeah. After an in-house investigation, Walgreens called the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office. According to the arrest report, McGee admitted taking 500 oxycodone and 300 aloprazolam. Nope, I said that wrong.
Just say the Xanax.
Oh, Xanax. And 300 Xanax tablets worth $2,300 from the Walgreens at 101 North Main Street. She would be accused of taking 564 Percocet and 1,045 Xanax tablets.
Damn.
That's a good buzz.
That'll keep you going for a while.
McGee said she did so while filling prescriptions, dropping the pills or an entire bottle into her pocket. Later, when speaking with sheriff's office investigators, she said she took them because her cousin threatened to rob the Walgreens pharmacy otherwise.
Oh, so either bring them to the cousin or I'm going to give them to the cousin.
Yeah, I'm going to give them to her, so otherwise she's coming to rob the place, or he. McGee then admitted he wasn't her cousin, but someone she'd grown up with in Sarasota.
Yeah,
then she claims she didn't know his name, just the nickname Yellow. In her cell phone, his number.
If she grew up with him, how would she not know his real name?
This story has lots of holes in it. From the 941 area code was listed under Vegas Business, according to the report. Yeah, 941 is not a Florida area code.
Yeah, it is.
Is it?
Sarasota. Sarasota, Bradenton.
All right, well, let's take that part out because that sounds stupid. All right.
Between 239 and 813 is 941. It used to be the area code here.
What? Okay.
What'd the intern say?
I don't. It doesn't matter. I can't hear unless I take the headphones off, and then I'm like, what? What? And then right. She won't talk because she don't want to be caught on the mic. And it's like, I can't hear you. Speak up. She went through the 941, then the 839, and then the 239.
It was 813, 941, 239.
That's what I said.
All right, story number two. Florida girl put, quote, help, get me out of here, sign on a window because she was struggling with her homework.
Oh, God, that's not our kids, are they?
It's pretty close, but it's not quite your city. But
okay, thank you.
Actually, the intern did send this one to me earlier today, so I'm going to give her credit. A sign that read, help, get me out of here, alarmed Florida deputies, but it turned out a little girl just needed help with her math homework. A maintenance worker in North Naples noticed the sign in an apartment window and notified the Collier County Sheriff's Office. When deputies arrived, they learned the 10-year-old girl's mother sent her to her room to finish the assignment. Quote, the girl decided to take an unorthodox approach, according to the Sheriff's Office. Deputies learned she wrote the impassioned plea on a piece of paper, then placed it against the window of her bedroom. Quote, while we were happy to know that no one was in danger, we totally relate to the frustration that comes with math homework, unquote, according to a statement. A deputy provided the family with his personal cell phone, saying the child can call anytime with homework questions to avoid another scary call to service.
Yeah,
kids,
it didn't work.
Man, they
help get me out of here.
They mean well, but sometimes they can cause more problems than they intended to.
All right, story number three comes to us from Fox23.com. Florida man builds a backyard golf course. Golf courses are open during the coronavirus pandemic.
Really?
Not all of them. But a man in Fleming Island, where is that? Fleming Island, Florida.
No idea.
Decided to take matters into his own hands to keep his golf game up to par.
Don't you want it to be under par?
You've heard of man caves and basement bars. Maybe this is the newest trend. Quarantine or no quarantine, how about a golf course in your own backyard? Now, when I was in college, we had a golf course around. We played with Wolfel golf balls, and we used to have a little nine-hole course that we had around the pool in our backyard. behind in our apartment complex.
That's cool.
And that, yeah, it was until we chili dipped all the grass into the pool, and the management got a little upset. Well, you chili dip, you don't play golf, do you?
No.
The chili dip is when you hit it. You either chili or skull fuck it. I mean, it's when you hit more dirt than you do ball, and the dirt goes flying up. So anyway, they didn't like it. So we chopped up the whole yard, and that didn't work out. Anyway, mowing the lawn can feel like a hazardous chore. Not for Scott Jones. He turned his grass into greens made of turf. Well, that's what most greens are made of. I came up with this idea, and it started with a putting green, and it just continued to grow. There was never any drawings or any plans. It was just kind of all in my head. So let's do it, Jones said. Jones used every bit of his backyard and now gets to use everything in his golf bag. As a golfer, I can hit all 14 clubs in the bag. I've set up a net between two trees, and in that net, he's got the net. I have a launch monitor. It functions as well as being pretty cool, too.
Yep.
The practical use is obvious. There is also an emotional attachment for Jones. The name of his course is Angel Country Club. Angel was my cat.
Oh. Really?
That I had for 20 years. 20 years? Good Lord. That's old.
That's an old fucking cat.
I know.
Who could put up with the same damn cat for 20 years?
What a great thing. Call it Angel Country Club. Name it after her, kind of in her memory, Jones said. This might be the most exclusive club in America. Just one member. Unless you count Rory McIlroy, not that famous golfer who won the Players' Championship in 2019, but Jones's dog. I can always say that Rory has...
This guy's a real golf fan if he named his dog after a golfer.
I can always say that Rory has been at Angel Country Club hanging out with me, and that's it, Jones said. The best part about backyard golfing and Angel Country Club, it's just a few short steps to burgers and beverages at the 19th hole.
Yeah. So
he built a golf course.
Something tells me he's not married.
Now it's time for the Florida Man Food Fight.
And this week, our Florida Man Food Fight comes to us from local10.com. Florida Man punched a food donor at a distribution event. Guy's just trying to do something good for the community and gets a fist to the face. A pastor was arrested Tuesday in Opa-locka for punching a 70-year-old man who was trying to deliver food to those in need, authorities said. The victim, Felipe Madrigal, spoke to Local 10 News reporter Jeff Weinesier Thursday as he was going into the emergency room to get his neck checked out. He told Weinesier he was still having a lot of pain in his neck and head. That's good. You know what? Make sure that's on the record for the eventual court case.
They don't need that for the lawsuit, for the civil suit.
Felipe's thinking. The incident was reported outside a church in the area of Lincoln Avenue and Johnson Street. According to the arrest report, the victim, who is the president of the Rotary Club of Doral, told police he had gone to the area to deliver 12 pallets of food to people when Bernice Lee S. Mickle, age 64, approached him and asked what he was doing there. According to his business card, Mickle is the pastor of Mount Tabor Ministries. A woman who identified herself as the church administrator for another church, the Opa-locka Church of God, said Mickle is not affiliated with her church. However, they allow him to use a building across from the church when he is feeding the community. The victim said he told Mickle he was there to provide food to people, but Mickle got angry that the victim did not contact him first before arriving. So he's apparently got a monopoly on giving food to the needy. The pastor apparently thought the food was going to be donated to his church and not handed out that day. Quote, when I said, why don't you help us? At that moment, he hit me and I went backwards on the sidewalk and landed on the street. My phone went flying. It's broken, Madrigal said. Police said Mickle punched the victim in the face, knocking him out.
Wow.
One punch.
KO.
According to the arrest report, Mickle told police he hit Madrigal because he feared for his life. But witnesses told officers Mickle struck the victim for no apparent reason. Weinesier also spoke to Mickle on Thursday, and he again stated that he was in fear of Madrigal. Quote, we do not do food distribution on Tuesday.
we do food distribution on Thursday, unquote. He was right close up on me. I thought he was going to hit me. I was defending myself, unquote. Because it was Tuesday, not Thursday.
Yeah. It wasn't taco. It wasn't free food Tuesday. That's on Thursday.
Right. So, Phil, when you're hungry on Tuesday, do you typically wait till Thursday to get something to eat, or would you rather have the food on Tuesday?
Well, it is a little, usually Monday's oatmeal.
Okay.
Monday's oatmeal day. Sometimes they try to do French toast, but I don't eat French toast on Mondays because Mondays are oatmeal day.
Okay. Do you have a bowl for your keys?
I have a bowl. And you put the keys in the bowl. That way your keys don't get lost.
Yeah.
Because they're in the bowl.
Okay.
Yes, I am a monstrous Big Bang Theory fan.
All right. Anyways, Madrigal isn't buying the claim. Quote, I'm 70 years old, brother. He said, all I want to do is help people, and we were there to help people in need. Mickle held his weekly food distribution on Thursday as scheduled. After being knocked out, Madrigal didn't go to the hospital, but instead took his 12 pallets of food and headed to City Hall to hand it out there. Quote, it's very sad, Jeff, he said. We are there to help the most needy people, and it's so sad. That's a pastor of a church, and he acts the way he did. Mickle was taken into custody on a charge of aggravated battery on an elderly person, but he has since bonded out. Records show the pastor has had a long criminal record that dates back to 1976 that includes charges such as theft, battery, and possession of cocaine.
That's a tough one to overcome as a pastor.
Well, I mean, you know, you got to be down in the trenches with the flock, you know. You can't preach to them on how to better yourself unless you've crawled out of the gutter yourself. He was recently charged with kidnapping, false imprisonment, robbery, and battery for an incident involving his wife. It doesn't say how recently.
Yeah, it doesn't say how recently.
Nope.
Oh, dear.
But a great guy.
Yeah, what a stand-up.
Yeah, punches an old man for trying to donate some food.
There we go. All right, so now we're going to try a new segment. These are stories that we came across this week. Good stories from a headline standpoint. Not enough substance to do a whole bit on. So we're just going to read the headlines to you in a little bit about it.
Okay.
So I'll go in a little different order here than what we've got. The Buccaneers fans here in South Florida are all excited about Mr. Tom Brady.
And Rob Gronkowski now, too.
And Gronkowski joining. However, it didn't take Mr. Brady long to gain Florida man notoriety.
Yes.
Tom Brady mistakenly enters Florida man's home. Quote, am I in the wrong house? The new Buccaneers quarterback asks. So the story behind this one is he went to visit, I think, the quarterback's coach or one of them.
Yeah, one of the coaches.
And the houses were...
He was there to work out because he brought his bag of gear.
And he went to the wrong house and didn't knock, just walked in.
Mm-hmm.
And he went in the wrong house.
Well, he encountered one of those phenomenon that it's not exclusively Florida, but it's definitely prevalent here. The gated community where every house looks exactly the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. He thought he was going in the coach's house and walked into the neighbor's house because, he thought he was at the right place.
He was close. Just missed it by one. Here's another headline. Florida man crashes his homemade plane.
Yep.
We make our own planes here.
You know, if you build your own plane from a kit, the FAA doesn't even investigate the crash.
No, Joel,
or
I did not.
Or the NTSB that does not investigate the crash because they just figure it's going to fucking happen.
It's going to die anyway. It's going to not die. It's going to crash anyway.
Yep.
Here's another good one I loved. Drugs found at a Florida home with, quote, come back with a warrant, doormat. That one came to a welcome mat at the front door of a Florida home read, come back with a warrant. And that's just what the deputies did before finding drugs and drug paraphernalia inside. They got busted for meth. So, what I learned here is if you're going to do illegal things in the house, don't put a doormat out that says, come back with a warrant.
Well, you know, if you're the type of person that the cops are always knocking on your door anyway and always asking, can I come in? You got to tell them no anyways. So just put it on the doormat. They won't even bother. They just know,
Cut to the chase.
Works perfect.
Call up the judge,
Florida woman. Yeah. Florida woman spits chewed food into fruit bins. Laughs when questioned about COVID-19, police say. She destroyed almost $350 worth of food.
Well,
just that, chewed it up and spit it back in the buffet.
Did it say which store it was? Because, you know, at
we're
Publix,
doing
that would
headlines.
Be
a, it wasn't in the headline.
Okay. Because Publix, that would be a lot of fruit. At something like Whole Foods, I mean, three or four bananas, you know.
All right. Times are hard. Man in surgical mask accused of robbing a iDrive hotel clerk. He took $250. The funny thing about this one is he was arrested on a charge of robbery with a weapon while wearing a mask.
That's bullshit, because the government's saying you should be wearing a mask now.
And they got him on wearing a mask.
So they get you an extra...
Yep, got him an extra charge because he tried to rob the place while wearing a mask.
So and they say iDrive, so that's International Drive in Orlando, I'm assuming.
I don't know. Next, Florida man charged with pointing a BB gun at golfers. Yep. This guy on the golf course was upset because people were driving their carts on the putting greens and over a wooden bridge designed for walking. He couldn't get authorities to do anything about it, so he took matters in his own hand and threatened people with a BB gun.
Yeah. You know,
yep.
They're driving a golf cart, not a car. You should threaten them with a BB gun, not a real gun.
Yep. And this one, the last one here. Did you put this one in? Florida woman's ex-husband found guilty of mailing her a dead rat.
Yep. Hey, he's a Florida man now because they got him in Tampa to put him in jail. So
they extradited him to Tampa.
Yep. He was an Illinois man, I believe.
Those are just some of the stories. This is what we deal with here, folks. So these are just this week.
This is the kind of stuff we usually have to weed out because the story really is kind of short.
It's not a lot of substance to it. Yeah, it's kind of short. It's not a lot of stuff. Then the headline's kind of, you know, it is what it is.
Did I tell you about my dead rat that I found?
Yes, you did.
Actually, my wife
found
it.
And you sent me pictures. You actually sent me pictures of it, too. I found it completely disgusting and gross.
It was kind of cool, though. It was a skeleton.
Not really. No, not really. I'm thinking y'all are going to be on the next episode of Hoarders.
Well, this was at my
It was in the shed
at my mom's house. So we had stuff. Mm-hmm. We had boxes of stuff just stored there. Because
was there a key to that shed that you couldn't find today? Was it in the bowl?
It was a different shed.
Different shed.
Yeah. Okay. You ready?
Yep.
You
got
this.
Yep.
All right. Fill in the blank. Florida lawyer will dress as blank to protest beach reopenings.
Anaconda.
Incorrect.
Fuck. Dolphin.
Incorrect. He wants to, I'll give you a hint. He wants to prevent people from going to the beach.
He would dress as a prevent people from going. A hooker.
Incorrect.
Shit.
He wants to relay the message that it could be deadly to go. So because the number of Floridians infected with COVID-19 continues to rise, attorney Daniel Ulfelder thinks it's ridiculous that Governor Ron DeSantis has allowed the state's beaches to begin reopening. So Ulfelder came up with an equally ridiculous protest idea, dressing as the Grim Reaper to persuade people to remain home and stay alive.
The Grim Reaper.
The Grim Reaper.
And I went with stripper.
You went with stripper. You went the exact opposite. The Grim Reaper is so covered up that the only thing you can see is his bony freaking fingers.
And I went for the slutty stripper.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That would be a good Halloween costume, the slutty Grim Reaper.
What do you have, Joel? He's like, so you've got the cape, she cuts out
she's just wearing a gray bikini with the hood on and the scythe. Scythe doubles as a stripper pole and she could spin around it.
Fantastic.
Yep.
Send all protests to Joel, please, not me.
Ulfelder, a Miami native who lives in Santa Rosa Beach, which is in the Panhandle, this week vowed on Twitter to embark on what he calls the Florida Grim Reaper Tour. Quote, I was thinking about ways to articulate the message that this is a serious, deadly virus that is easily communicated, and we don't need to be drawing thousands to our beaches, he tells the Miami New Times. And that's where this story comes from, Miami New Times. I couldn't think of anything more deadly as a symbol than the Grim Reaper. After closing in March, beaches in Jacksonville infamously reopened last week, allowing people to flock together and prompting the hashtag Florida morons. Sometimes that seems a little redundant. Olfelder said he is normally an advocate for free access to Florida's beaches. In the past, he has sued to open private beaches in the panhandle to the general public. But the current circumstances have changed his tune. Quote, I want to get back to normal more than anyone, he says. I love our beaches, but the suffering will be shorter if we follow the rules and flatten the curve. Before you ask, no, Olfelder did not have a Grim Reaper costume and scythe already hanging in his closet, waiting for just such an occasion. But he says his online order is on the way. By next Friday, he plans to start his tour of coastal towns to spread his grim but hopeful message.
I'm sure that will have massive effect on people.
Oh, yeah. You know what's going to happen is tons of people are going to find out where
he is.
He's
going to get his ass kicked.
And they're going to go to the beach just to take pictures of him.
Oh, yeah.
Quote, there won't be a lack of choices, he says, pointing out that beaches are opening with restricted hours in Duval, Dixie, and Flagler counties, among others, including right here in Lee County. Olfelder says he'll practice social distancing while telling people about the dangers of gathering in groups during the pandemic and will try to get his message across with a mix of looks and logic. With any luck, he won't be taking any souls. He says he'd like to make it down to Miami Beach despite the long drive. Mayor Dan Gelber has been adamant about not reopening the beaches for now, despite protests from one city commissioner. This isn't the first time Olfelder has dressed up to take his message of personal safety to the seashore. A month ago, he put on a hazmat suit and grabbed a microphone to explain to locals in Pensacola why they should not gather in groups during a national health emergency. Olfelder says he's not worried about angry beachgoers confronting him. His experience in the legal system has toughened him up enough. I'm a trial lawyer, he says. I'll be fine.
He's going to get his ass kicked.
Nah, I think it's just going to be a bunch of idiots showing up to take pictures with him.
All right, this comes to us from Fox 51. Story number five. Our Cinco for our Spanish-speaking friends.
Cinco de Mayo.
A 75-year-old...
I'm almost out of tequila.
A 75-year-old Florida woman found alive in a ravine 9 days after going missing.
I've been in a lot of different places in Florida. I don't think I've ever seen a ravine.
Is that like a ditch?
No, it's more like a cliff. Well, yeah, I guess kind of it would be a cliff
or a ditch,
but like with cliffs on both sides.
So it's a ditch.
Very steep ditch, yes.
Okay.
But with no water.
A 75-year-old Citrus County woman was found alive on Thursday morning after being missing for 9 days, and it's all thanks to two Walmart employees.
Not the missing part, the found part. So Walmart the Walmart employees actually did something good for a change.
That's fantastic.
I figured you'd want to read about a good Walmart story.
Yeah, you were wrong. The Citrus County Sheriff's Office had been looking for Diane McInnes since April the 7th, when she was reported missing. Deputies searched by air and on the ground and with canines, but had no luck finding her.
Apparently, they didn't look in a ravine.
A ditch. While performing a traffic stop on Thursday in front of the Walmart. What the hell is that?
Homosassa.
Homosassa?
Homosassa, I think.
Homosassa?
You might be right.
Walmart, the sheriff's office said two employees approached Sergeant Callahan and described hearing strange noises coming from the wooded area behind the store.
Now, typically, strange noises coming from behind a Walmart, you'd want the cops involved, I would think.
As he searched the area, Sergeant Callahan heard the faint sounds of a woman's voice. That's when he found McInnes in a 5-foot ravine. Ditch.
That's a huge
emergency. Emergency crews were called and she was transported to a hospital.
I saw the missing pictures of her. She doesn't look like a little person, so I'm confused as to how she couldn't just crawl out of a 5-foot ravine. I mean, she had 9 days.
She had 9 days to figure out how to get out.
And she still couldn't get it.
Our citizens are amazing, and if not for these two employees following their instincts and reporting suspicious noises, this case would have ended much differently, said Sheriff Mike Prendergast. I could not be more proud of the deputies, detectives, and volunteers who spent hundreds of cumulative hours searching for Mrs. McInnes. So this is a happy story in Florida.
Yeah. And
thanks to Walmart employees
in Homosassa.
In Homosassa.
Our final story comes to us from the Tampa Bay Times. Idaho man drove on closed Florida beach, quote, out of boredom. I just wanted, since this is about a story from Idaho, one of our listeners, Dustin, who's from the Atheist Nomads podcast, sent us an email and he said, hello again. I hate to do this, but Phil was kind of onto something with a river between Wyoming and Oregon. That was your when you were telling us the story about the crossword puzzle.
Right.
And the answer was Idaho. He said it's called the Snake River with headwaters in Wyoming. And after crossing Idaho, it serves as most of the border between Oregon and Idaho. So you were onto something there with river.
Yeah. I just
that would have fit. It's got the same number of letters.
I know. I still screwed it up. But thank you. I appreciate Dustin. Thanks for trying to help me out.
Yep. But another Idaho man. And Dustin's from Idaho, by the way. But another Idaho man.
I have never been to Idaho.
What's that?
I have never been to Idaho.
I haven't either. I haven't been anywhere in the Pacific Northwest.
Other stuff I've been is, I think, San Francisco. I've never been to Washington, Oregon, Idaho.
Yeah, the closest we should I've do been that. Would be...
Dustin, we're coming to stay with you.
Los Angeles.
We're going to take a road trip.
I think he does a big camping trip every year.
Do you? I mean, I have an RV.
Yeah, maybe we'll hit him up. Go camping.
I'd like to go to Idaho. Or somewhere up in the Northwest.
I think we just invited ourselves to go to his next camping trip. All right. Anyway, another Idaho man, John McGarry. He isn't from Florida, but he channeled his inner Florida man on Saturday. The 25-year-old Idaho native led police on a 35-mile-per-hour chase on Sand Key Beach after onlookers saw him cruising through the empty beach. Officers from the Clearwater Police Department then pursued and arrested him in the parking lot of the Sheraton Sand Key around 2:45 p.m., police say. Sand Key Beach was closed to the public due to the coronavirus pandemic when McGarry drove on it. Even when open, however, vehicles are not allowed on that beach.
Nope.
This is typically the week that we are driving on a beach, though. We usually go to Daytona this time of year.
We are usually in Daytona this weekend. And I hate Facebook for giving me all of these, hey, look what you were doing last year at this time.
4 years ago.
Hey.
3 years ago.
3 years ago at this time.
Yep.
Yes, I know. I was on the beach.
Yep. But the beach being closed to vehicles didn't stop McGarry, however, who said he went from the streets to the sand purely out of boredom, according to police. McGarry now faces misdemeanor charges of reckless driving, resisting arrest without violence, and for driving with a suspended license.
He drove all the way from Idaho with a suspended license?
Well, I actually went and checked out his arrest report, and he actually lists Clearwater as his home, but as a transient. So he doesn't have an address, but he lives here.
Huh.
So he's homeless, but he's got a car, which I assume is
his home. Welcome to Florida.
Yep. McGarry's been booked into the Pinellas County Jail. His bail for the three charges has been set at $650.
Yep. I could be driving on the beach this weekend, past weekend, but no.
Nope.
Florida? But that's America's wing.
They prefer the Sunshine State.
All right. Well, that's the show for this week, folks. Please subscribe to Florida Men wherever you're hearing us right now or at FloridaMenPodcast.com/subscribe.
And please rate us 5 stars or leave a review on Podchaser or Apple Podcasts. We'll read your review on the show, and it really helps us get found by new listeners.
We are at Florida Men Pod on all the social media thingies. Our email is floridamenpodcast@gmail.com, and our voicemail is 567-432-9674.
And if
you know what we need to do?
Huh?
We need to look at the letters 9674 and see if that spells anything Florida Manish.
I did, and it doesn't.
Nothing?
Nothing.
All right.
Yeah, I know. If you want to support the show, you can send us something from our Amazon wish list, or you can drop something in our online tip jar at paypal.me/floridamen. Or to get early access and extended ad-free episodes and other cool stuff, you can subscribe at patreon.com/floridamen. Links to all three of those are in the show notes.
We would like to thank our Patreon subscribers personally, and they are at the Jacksonville tier, Cassandra and Wally.
At the Tampa tier, Colin, David, Jason, Kat, Michael D., Michael M., One Foot in the Grave podcast, Patrick, Randy, Roxanne, and Julia.
At the Tallahassee tier, we have Allison, Koneth, Erica, Heather, woohoo, JP, June, Kurt, Matt, Matthew from Washington State.
That's pretty close to Idaho.
It is. Nicole, Paradise After Dark Podcast, Sarah, Taya, Tony, and Stephanie.
At the Daytona tier, Jessica, Katie, Kim, and Mia.
Our duck wrangler. I still can't believe I got the broke dick duck.
I got big balls.
And I cannot lie. At the Orlando tier, we have Steve and Danielle. And at the Miami tier, Wicked Spades, the Space Coasties, and my man Travis.
And this week, our Patreon bonus story is about a guy who likes cats about as much as Phil does, and you can only hear it if you are one of our Patreon subscribers.
This program is provided for informational use only. No warranty or professional relationship is implied, and no refunds will be granted.
Views expressed on this program are solely the opinions of Shadyside Media, LLC, and are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease, and do not imply an endorsement by our sponsors, spouses, families, employers, each other, or the Florida Board of Tourism.
Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or retransmission without the express written consent of Major League Baseball is prohibited. All suspects should be considered innocent until proven guilty in a court of law.
This podcast was recorded at Southern Audio Production Studios in Fort Myers, Florida, and Sheltered in Place Studios in Bonita Springs, Florida, and mixed in a backyard golf course.
And as always, we'll finish up tonight with the Ballad of Florida Man. And Tracy, kiss my ass.
Florida man, might be crazy, might be stupid, he's a Florida man. He's got his feet in the sand while he works on his tan. He's got an annual pass to Disneyland. He drinks his beer from a can, he lives in his van. It's a mobile tiny house inside. It's Florida man. Florida man. Might be crazy, might be stupid, he's a Florida man. Florida man. A dumbass, but we love him. He's a Florida man.
I've got Joel Carrier. He's like my friend. My seeing eye duck. That's got to be able to show me around the farm and take care of me. Make sure I don't do something stupid. Which kind of is the way things are in real life.
The preceding podcast is copyright 2020 Shadyside Media LLC. All rights reserved.